Good evening. It's 7 p.m. Good evening. It's 7 p.m. on Monday night. That means it's game time for the Marriage Playbook with your host, Eric.
And Fran. It's a show that tackles the issues that rival the modern-day marriage.
Together, we're going to take the field with a game plan that will give teen marriage the win. So let's get ready for the kickoff on the Marriage Playbook.
On the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. We are so happy to have you to join us this evening, and we're just so excited. Happy Monday, everyone. Listen, we're on live here in the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love. This is the Marriage Playbook Season 6, Game 1, The Missing Part of You, and I'm excited about this season. How are you doing, Coach Eric?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you for listening. It's 7 p.m., so you know what time it is. It's the Marriage Playbook with your coaches, Eric and Fran. And like Coach Fran said, this is Season 6, Game 1. We're starting a whole new season, and it's the missing part of you. If I can sort of give you an introduction of what this subject and this topic is talking about, you ever notice a person, and everyone knows one or someone like this, that you know them to be married. They're known to be married, except you never see their spouse. You know, like it's your friend who's married, but you never see his wife, or your girlfriend that you know that's married, but you never see their husband. They don't talk about their husband. You don't even know if he or she even exists because you really never see them together. Or how about a married person who thinks or behaves like a single person? You know, one who hangs out all night with the fellas. You know, or a woman that goes out on vacation with the girls and is gone from a week from her husband. You know, people that behave and display the character in deed and in character, the attitude of someone who is not married at all. You know, so now we go according to biblical principles concerning marriage, and we all know marriage is a God thing. It's the joining of two people who becomes one. You know, they should be inseparable instead of just always being separated. And it appears in the instance that there's a missing part of you. You know, there's a part of you that's missing. We know you, but there's another part of you because you're married. Remember, two people became one flesh? So if I only see one part of that marriage, there's a missing part that I have no idea about.
Yes, and so we want to talk about that because oftentimes this is taking place and maybe couples may need help. You know, they're not reaching out to someone, or maybe they have reached out to someone and feel like, oh, well, it's going to just be like it is. And I'm just here to let you know that I don't care what your marriage situation may be and what you may be going through, I guarantee you if you put God's word to it and you demonstrate God's love towards one another, all things are possible to them that believe. I'm telling you, God will turn that situation around. And what I find is that it may be misunderstandings that get in the way. It may be the children. It may be the job. It may be, okay, you're both working so much and you're trying to build careers, or you're trying to even be good, right, providers. See, these things happen with us even trying to do our best is what we're saying. You know, you could be doing the right thing, trying to just, you guys working together and things like that, but you're putting all those things before what God really truly put the marriage together so you guys can enjoy one another, you know, and that love and that enjoyment, the time that you spend when you're around people, guess what? It's going to spool out into other people's lives, you know. Your marriage can be an example. And so this is what we're going to talk about because we do. We see couples all the time, you know, and as soon as we ask them where they're at, we can already feel the tension that something's wrong. Sometimes you don't even want to ask how they're doing, but you don't want to be rude either because you know that individual is married.
You know, sometimes you go on a double date with another married couple, and it turns out it's ministry.
Yes.
You know, it turns into a counseling session right there at the table. Now, we don't mind doing that, you know, and if you're a Christian, you shouldn't mind helping your brother and your sister in their marriage. We need to be promoting not only our marriage, other people's marriage and just marriage in general should be promoted by the Christian. Why? Because marriage is a Christian, it's a God thing. So we should promote that. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back and get into all these segments, get into some details. Please call us at 646-668-8485. If you want to air a comment or even ask a question, press 1 to come on live with the show with us, and we're going to be right back with this thing, all right?
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout. So we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills. Over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent on Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent on Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
This is Dr. Joanne Dixon, pastor of the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church at 2234 North Front Street here in Philadelphia. Join us Sundays at 10 a.m. for Sunday school and at 11 a.m. for morning worship, prayer and Bible study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can follow us on Facebook or dial 267-314-5220. We are a loving church and a learning church, which make us a growing church. God bless you.
Magnify His name with Elder Charnell P. Blaine and Divine Purpose. For all ministry engagements, contact us at area code 267-240-0709 or email us at dpministry01@aol.com. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And we're never too tired to give God an unconditional praise. Magnify His name.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. Season 6, Game 1 of the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran, the missing part of you. Now, we're going to start out with this, dealing with marriage. When I think of a marriage, I think of a rapidly forming corporation, like a business. You know, the process of getting people in sync to understand the vision of the company, the desire for developing teamwork, the anticipation of success, you know. And eventually what companies do once they become successful is they go public. Now, I said that to say this. One of the first things that happens right before marriage is the whole concept of marriage and the anticipation of who you're getting married to, it goes public. And one of the biggest things that you see when you have a marriage and there's problems is that they behave really privately about their relationship. I'm not talking about your intimacy being out on blast. I'm talking about it seems like you guys are not together because I don't see you together. Okay, if I see one, I don't see the other. Okay, I don't see a public display of the union or the unity of your marriage. You know, and it's very important because the marriage is the snapshot of the church. I say that all the time. Now I'm going to give you my definition and the purpose of marriage. And marriage, by purpose, is to glorify God. Now, you can't glorify God if you hide it. You know, if you deal with your marriage like it's a private affair, because it's not a private affair, it's very public. When you ask a woman's hand in marriage, it's a public situation. There's family, community is there. When you have a wedding, it's a very public thing. Even though you have to invite people and it's invitation only, it's still a public event. Why? You're telling the whole world that I'm going to give myself to this person and this person only in the sight of God. So you invite the preacher, your church family, everybody's family is there with a big reception, a big celebration of this marriage. Why? Because marriage is a very public thing. Now, if you find yourself in your marriage and your marriage is on a hush-hush, or you trying to keep it quiet, you got to ask yourself this question. Why is my marriage so quiet? Why is my thing so secretive?
And I agree with you, Coach Eric. One of the things you talked about was when you said community. The thing that jumped out about that is one of the things, and he said it, why is it so quiet? Why is it so hush-hush? We're not talking about your business being all out in the street. But also that's the thing that kind of always boggles my mind is that when everything is all hush-hush, the wedding, everything is going on behind the curtains, but then the business is all in the street. You know, we're quick to talk about our meats. We're quick to, you know, to spill what's going on in the house. I mean, we'll get on Facebook in a minute and put what your husband not doing or what your wife is not doing. We'll put it publicly on social media, you know. But when the time of the courting and preparing for the wedding, you know, it was just you two, quiet, nobody know anything. You didn't come to the community, to those who love you. You know, your pastor, you know, your bishop, someone of spiritual counseling, your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle. We're not talking about people that you may feel like may be trying to do death or be a detriment to your marriage. We're not talking about that because, see, Coach Eric and I experienced that also.
Right.
It was some things we needed to keep quiet because too many people were trying to fight against us.
Right.
And so I understand that. But even after that, your marriage should be displayed in a way where people are being blessed by the thing that you say God bless you with.
Right.
You know, the thing that you say it was God and God is doing it. And, you know, we give God the glory, you know, when we think everything is okay, but when stuff is not going, going right or going our way, we don't turn to that same God that we want to give glory to and ask God and say, God, I want to continue to give you glory in my marriage. You know, I want to continue to let my marriage be in effect to the young people, let them see that when God said male and female, it's exactly what he meant, you know. And it's like because we're in the times that we are, we need the people of God, those who say they love God, especially if you are married, to stand up, not be boisterous and be all loud, and I ain't talking about being arrogant and all of that, but let your marriage shine, you know, and let folks know that marriage in God is working, that marriage is still successful. Every marriage is not a disaster story,
right.
You know, and if you have a disaster story, we have a God that's more than able that can fix anything. The thing is, are you willing to go through the process of even allowing your marriage to be what God wanted to be, you know? So it's an important thing, very, very important. And something else you said, don't hide your marriage away from people, and then you want to expose it when things not going right.
Right,
because actually that is the reverse.
Right.
You know, I'm not talking about hide stuff if you're in a serious situation and you need help.
Right.
No, you let somebody know that.
Right.
But when it comes to your marriage, you don't tell anybody about your marriage. I think that's one of the things that really gets under my skin is when I hear a woman of God uncover her husband. You know, because God has been dealing with this word portal, you know, and what happens is you open up an area where you allow not only the enemy is now going to attack him, but the enemy is actually attacking both of you, you know. He's attacking both of you, and now he's attacking the marriage. So certain things, if it's not someone of spiritual maturity, someone you can confide in, someone that's going to give you godly counsel, you know, don't forget Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly.
Because,
see, we get counsel from all these people who not only haven't been through anything, but been married 4, 5, 6 times and still don't have a desire to get it right, you know, don't have a desire to glorify God in the marriage. And oftentimes we do that because we're looking for someone to be on our side and to say that we're right instead of being righteous in the sight of God and how we deal in our marriages.
Good stuff, Coach Fran, good stuff. She brought out a point, and it made me think about this. Going public. Now, it's very dangerous in the beginning of a relationship that has potential to have marriage for you to go private then. That's not when you go private. You don't go private in the beginning because guess what? You could be making a mistake, but because you went private and you kept things a secret, you know, secretly engaged, secretly got married, now all of a sudden you married. Then when all the problems come out, now you want to go public. You know, now you go public, now you got problems. You know why you got problems? Because you went private in the beginning. You should have went public in the beginning.
Right.
It works the other way. It's public in the beginning. Once you get married, then it goes private. That's what we refer to as intimacy. Okay? What's going on between you and your spouse is between you and your spouse. Once you get married, it's intimate. You shut everybody else out.
That's right. Come on, say that again.
Okay, I'm going to say it again because I want to be obedient to Coach Fran. You know, in the beginning, you're public. Once you get married, now it becomes private. Your intimacy between you and your spouse becomes private. You shut everybody else out.
And, you know, the thing Coach Eric, he said something, the intimacy. You don't let no one know your intimate part of your marriage.
Because that's what intimacy
is. To
no
one. You know, because what happens is, I don't care if you have an argument, I don't care if you go through something, guess what? You're going to come back together with just an argument, you know? It was just an argument. It's going to blow. But
right.
What happens is, when you spread dirty laundry of your marriage and your intimacy on social networks, social media, even on the telephone, however you do it, or however it's done, now you have given room to the enemy. So now you're together, and now y'all at this function together, and everybody's looking at the individual and not speaking and just, you know, now you got all this drama going on. And then not only, okay, that happened the one time, because you really need to repent to God, and you need to actually make for forgiveness. And then while you guys are out, everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. You know? And now, excuse me.
That's now, supposed to be drinking ginger ale when you're supposed to be doing the show.
I am so sorry, y'all.
You gotta stop that eating when you're doing the show. Pizza last time. Now you're still eating doing the show.
No, I'm not eating, you guys. I just had some ginger ale. My stomach has been a little upset.
Oh, we are trying
but
to get
listen,
that.
Listen, again. I do apologize, but again, what I'm saying is you don't want to give room for the enemy to come in and to do more damage because, listen, he only need a foot, a little inch, not even an inch, a little smidgen, you know? And so that information is used and then it's spread all over the place. And now you're back together and now you got this big issue because you shared something intimate that should have never been done.
All right, listen. Now, she said something that made a point here. Now, here's the crazy part. When you put your spouse on blast, right, your husband ain't nothing, your wife ain't nothing, and you're telling the world that they ain't nothing, don't you know that you ain't nothing either because you're married to the person that you said ain't nothing?
Exactly.
Now, you done entered into a union with somebody. Y'all one person, and the other half of you is nothing. Ain't no half. Both of y'all are one whole, so all of you guys are nothing now. Because you're putting it all on blast, and you're talking about yourself.
And to be honest, people aren't saying anything, but they're looking at you funny, too, because they're saying, why is he telling their business like this?
Mm.
Nobody is saying that, and you better watch it, because you got those who want to just listen to the gossip and the juice. They're the same people that's talking about you, about the same information you gave out. They done spread it to everybody else. So we have to watch that, you know, let alone don't be a child of God and then you do something like that because you got to understand that your spouse is a child of God and belong to God, you know. And so even with me, every day in my marriage, I am making sure, not I'm talking about marriage now, but I do this with all relationships. Make sure that I am respecting and I'm honoring people the way I should because I have to answer to God. My actions and the things I do, I have to answer to God. I have to answer to God how I treat my husband. I got to answer to God what I say and how I say it. You know? And so if you're doing that and you're uncovering yourself, actually you're making the fight harder than it has to be because you let the enemy in when it's something really simple if it was just an apology that needed to be made or something that needed to just be sit down and readjust in you guys' lives.
All right. So now let's get back to the information. Okay. So now, you know, you're promoting unity in your marriage. And your friends and your family should be supporting this union. If they're not supporting you, you don't want to get away from them. What I mean by support, they should be supporting the fact that you guys are together. Okay? You can't have a friend that say, I like the husband, but I don't like the wife. Oh, wait a minute. If you don't like my wife, you don't like me because she's part of me, so you can't break this thing up. Okay? Because it's a union here. Okay? If you can't accept my spouse, that's you saying you can't accept me. Okay? So your friends and your family got to watch them, that they promote your unity and support your unity. Your marriage now becomes a brand, okay? And you share in the company of your brand. That's why y'all got the same name.
Exactly.
Okay? Which brings me to this point. I don't know why, and I hate to say this, why some of these women are hyphenating their names and carrying their maiden name and then carrying their marriage name too. Now, why are you a maiden or are you married? Which one are you? Okay, you got to make your mind up. Now, I understand the celebrities that do that because their name was a brand before they got married. Now, if Oprah Winfrey decides to marry Stedman if they ain't already married, I understand her calling herself Oprah Winfrey Stedman. Why? Because, listen, her name is a brand. Okay, but some of you guys ain't celebrities. Don't nobody know who you are, and you're hyphenating your name. What are you doing that for? And matter of fact, it's a disrespect to your husband, big time. He might not be man enough to say it to you, but it's disrespect to him. Why? Because he brought you into his family, and now you are part of him. You should be wearing his name now because you don't belong to your family anymore. You belong to his family now. Now, y'all, oh, that sounds like old-fashioned stuff. Yeah, that's why there's so many problems. That's why we got to have shows like this, because nobody's sticking to the old landmark anymore. Mm-hmm. All right? So now, let's get back to this information, okay? Now, your marriage becomes a brand, and the uniform that you brandish is love in your marriage and unity. That's how you can be identified, okay? The key word here, again, is unity. You know, any successful company, all the employees are in sync with what they are selling or what they are producing. That's what brings success to it. Same thing happens between a husband and wife. They must come to work. Okay? There's no excuses. Companies and businesses don't work if the employees don't show up for work. They're going to be out of business if nobody shows up for work. Okay? In a marriage, it's the same way. If you don't show up for work, there's going to be a problem. You know, can't be too many unexcused absences in a marriage. You got to be there. You got to be present.
Right. Wow.
You got to be present in your own marriage. You know, you can't work 3 and 4 jobs because you guys think y'all need the money, but then y'all don't spend any time together. Y'all passion like ships in the night. She's going to work, you're going to work. You're coming home to go to sleep, she's going to work. There's no us time or together time. It's all about paying these bills. Well, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to have all your bills paid, okay, and then after a while, you'll be splitting your assets in front of a lawyer because y'all don't even know each other anymore.
Right.
You know, and guess what? The enemy know how to creep in there because guess what? If you're spending more time at a job, you know there's other people on the job that might be spending more time with your husband than you are, spending more time with your wife than you are. Why? Because you're busy paying these bills. Okay, which show that you have a lack of trust in God. Why? You didn't get married to be apart. So you got to work that out. You got to work that out. Like I said, not too many unexcused absences. Because even employees, when they have a lot of unexcused absence, eventually they get fired or laid off. You don't want to have to fire your wife or fire your husband or somebody get laid off because of all these unexcused absences in the marriage.
And Coach Eric, that was really wonderful, especially the franchise, that example. Because the thing I thought about with a franchise, and you talked about people respecting and honoring your marriage, that's something that each individual has to make sure that you uphold that and that you make people honor your marriage. And that's by you not only you loving each other and respecting each other, but you got to be careful. Coach Eric hit it about the balance. And we're not saying you can't pay bills and we know all of this. We've been through this, and this is why we're talking about it, because Coach Eric and I both said in the beginning when we got married, we laid some ground rules. It's some ground rules and some things that we have laid with each other that we are not ever going to do. And if we see each other going against the thing that we promised each other concerning our marriage that will keep our marriage together, we bring it up. You know, all right, it's a little too much of this. It's not enough of this, you know. And with us, I thought about the franchise thing, too. How? Don't you know when you buy into a franchise, if you're going to go, say, be a Kentucky Fried Chicken, you know, don't you understand that you have to purchase everything by Kentucky Fried Chicken or it's not actual the franchise that you brought, you know? You have to get Kentucky Fried Chicken bowls and Kentucky Fried Chicken cups and straws and napkins, and
right.
It's a brand. So everybody is seeing the same thing that you're displaying, and it has to be all the same. And when it comes to a godly marriage, people not only should see you two, but they should see God. They should see God's love. They should see God's word, because really that's what we're branding, you know. We're branding and displaying Christ. You know, so that's so important. And that thing he hit about getaway, sometimes me and Coach Eric just got to get away from people.
Mm.
And it's not a bad thing, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
We got to know, okay, we got to go, we got to get away from people for a minute.
Right.
You know, it's not a bad thing. It's just that you cannot be doing ministry. You can't be running a company. You know, you got the 13 grand, you got the 4 children, you got ministry, you got the radio show, you got these things, and then God is watching how we deal and entrusting us now so he can even give us more. So it has to be balanced, you know. And sometimes Coach Eric and us got to get away.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about not always a vacation. It may not be something big, and you might not be able to fly away.
Right.
But it's things that Coach Eric and I do that don't even cost money.
That's right.
But just being able to spend time with him and us talk about our lives and our future and what God is doing in our lives. Yes, granted, I thank God for all the things that he's, but it's some things personally,
right.
You know, that we're believing God to do for us in our personal life,
right.
You know. And so if we never, he's the man of God over our house. And God has given them a vision over our home. So I have to, as a wife, make sure, listen, are you sticking with the vision and the things God is commissioning you concerning our house? You know, because we know I don't need you doing, you know, and God bless all of that, but are you on track? Where are you with this?
Mm.
You know, and every husband and wife should be able to challenge that individual and talk to them about the vision of your household, you know. What God is doing every year, Coach Eric has. We sit down, we have a meeting, and he has a plan for the whole year. What are we going to do with the grandchildren? What are we going to do with the children? What we want to give and do, and how we want to support our ministry. We're not talking about jobs and things that our leader will give us and we submit to. We're not talking about that. We're talking about how we don't get so overwhelmed. And the things that's going on, and now we don't even enjoy the thing that God has given us to enjoy, and that's each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen here, man. You know, please call into the show if you got any comments, you got any questions. You know, just add in just 646-668-8485, 646-668-8485. Press 1. And we'll come right on, and we'll talk to you, and we'll have a discussion, man. You can interject into the conversation. You can ask a question. You know, you can give a comment. You can help us out with the show, man, because I'm sure you got information concerning this, and we'd love to hear from you. So we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back with our next segment. How about that? All right.
Come out. Looks like referee is calling a commercial timeout, so we'll be right back with the Marriage Playbook.
The Harrison Wedding Consultants have been servicing the Delaware Valley for over 20 years. With the finest chefs, great venues, and pastries, the Harrison Wedding Consultants are prepared to service your every event. Contact us at 267-884-9472 or follow us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. The Harrison Wedding Consultants, quality you can trust. It shouldn't be as hard to find a graphic designer with great customer skills, over 20 years of experience at an affordable price. Accent On Design by Luz offers you personable service with great attention to detail. Find me on Facebook at Accent On Design by Luz. Email aodbyluz@gmail.com or call 267-753-5936. If you can imagine it, I can help you create it.
57 South is a user experience design and development shop located in Philadelphia. We have over 12 years of experience in the visual communication field with a long list of satisfied customers. We provide innovative solutions for existing and emerging platforms. Got a plan? Let our team of talented professionals help bring it to life. You can reach us at 215-701-3934. You can visit our website, www.57south.com. We look forward to kickstarting your next project. Thank you. Have a great day.
Greetings, everyone. This is Erica Burnett, CEO and creative designer of A Single Suggestion, a business that specializes in handcrafted stationery. Visit our website at www.asinglesuggestion.com to see what we have to offer. Our email address is info@asinglesuggestion.com. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Pay us a visit to compliment your success at the hand of creative design.
And we're back. Thank you for staying in the game with us. So let's continue on with today's topic.
All right. Season 6, Game 1, The Missing Part of You. We're on our second segment, and the name of this segment is called Always Representing. Now, some of this information is going to seem redundant because, like I said in the first segment, we're dealing here mostly with unity. The key word here is unity. So always representing your unity, representing your marriage, always, husband and wife, representing that you guys are married. Everything about marriage is representing unity. Matching jewelry, matching wedding bands. Sometimes you wear matching clothes. When I'm getting dressed up to go out, I see my wife looking at what I'm wearing, because she's going to compliment what I'm wearing with what she's wearing, you know. So she start pulling out the same colors I pull out. Sometimes I mess with her. I don't say nothing, but I change my mind on her and do stuff like that to see what she going to follow me. Did she put, oh, you wearing that? Because I know she's been watching me the whole time.
No.
Wait a minute. I'm talking right now. All right. She's been watching to see what I'm going to pull out of my closet so that she can match up with me. So we match clothes sometimes, okay. Everything is unity. We have cohabitation. When you're married, y'all living together now. Now, you shouldn't be living together before you get married, but that's another story. All right? But you're cohabitating right now. Okay? When you produce, when you come together and do what God say, when you be fruitful and multiply. Yes, I'm talking about when you have children. The thing that you are producing, you are multiplying who you are. It's multiplication. Now, there was two, now there's three. Then there's going to be four. Then there's going to be five. The children aren't going to look like you or somebody in your family. It should be that way. If it's not, you might have another problem, but that's another conversation. Okay? So here, your family, your community, your church, etc., should see at some point the two of you or all of the family together as a unit. There's nothing more beautiful than seeing a family come down the street or get out the car. There's nothing more beautiful than that. Why? Because this is the plan of God. This is the snapshot of what the church is supposed to look like. Okay? You got strong marriage, you have a strong church. The church is actually the marriage. When you look into the Bible talks about the man presenting to himself a glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So what does that mean? Yeah, the husband really is the pastor of the church of your house. He should be the spiritual leader of the house. Okay, so now, how many times do you have to hear, how's your wife doing, or how's your husband doing? All the time. That means they never see the two of you together. So again, the key word here is unity, because there may be a missing part of you that we're not seeing displayed. Okay, we're not doing this thing to show off. It's just the unity should always be displayed, and it should be displayed organically. You know, not something that you have to make up, displayed organically, always, always representing. Not only should people see that you are married, they should know that you're married. They should see and know that the two of you guys are married. Okay, now we're going to go to the marriage playbook, which is the Word of God.
We do have some scriptures today. You know, we usually go to the Word of God. We have to do that because guess what? You know, this is real Christian radio, so we're going to go right to the Bible, which we refer to as the Marriage Playbook. Now, my wife is going to love this because this is one of her favorite scriptures. Okay, let's go to the Marriage Playbook, Proverbs, the 31st chapter.
That's right.
And the 23rd verse.
That's it. I got it.
Her husband is known in the gates. Now, how is her husband known in the gates? By her Christian character.
That's
by the way she carries herself. Everybody knows she's a married. She doesn't behave unseemly. She's not fresh with the men. Everybody knows that she is married. They find her working in the gates. When they sit among the elders of the land, they know that that's my man's wife. Why? Because that's how he carries. She's always talking about her husband.
Right.
And representing. Remember, always representing? She's always representing her husband. When I go to the grocery store, when I go to the corner store, everybody knows who I am because of my wife.
Right, everybody.
That's Francis' husband. Everybody knows that. People that I don't even know who I am because of my wife. Why? Because she's always representing, always representing. If a man, and my wife is a beautiful woman, if a man is being fresh with my wife will tell her, you know, I'm married and I love my husband. She'll tell you in a heartbeat. And they'll be like, oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know you're sorry. And you better be glad he ain't here. You see how big I am when I get there, you see you got a problem. All right? But that's never here nor there. But always representing. Okay? Now, turn to 22, Proverbs 22, in the 22nd verse. 22nd chapter and the 22nd verse. I'm going to get Coach Fran to read that. And the 22nd verse.
And the 22nd verse.
You got it?
22.
That's right.
Okay, Proverbs 22 and 22.
Mm-hmm.
Rob not the poor,
mm-hmm.
because he is poor.
Mm-hmm.
Neither oppress the afflicted in the gate.
That's Proverbs 22
and 22? Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's the wrong one?
That's the wrong one.
Okay, what you have then?
That must be 22.
It might be. You want me to go up in 31?
Yeah, 31.
Okay.
Go up in 31.
It says, she maketh herself coverings of tapestries. Her clothing is silk and purple.
Okay. So what we're talking about here, right, all that really starts at verse 10.
It does. It starts
yeah.
at verse
so
10.
Do verse 10.
Do verse 10.
Yes.
Okay. It says, who can find a
there
virtuous woman? And it says, for her price is far above rubies.
Mm-hmm.
The heart of her husband doeth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil.
Mm.
She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands.
Mm-hmm.
She is like the merchant's ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth a field and buyeth it with the fruit of her hands. She planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hand hold the distaff.
Mm-hmm.
She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy.
Mm.
She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet.
Mm.
And then I keep going. She maketh her coverings of tapestry.
Right.
Her clothing is silk and purple.
Mm.
Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land.
Now this is what I'm talking about. Now herein lay the holy submission which God commissions in marriage. All right? That's part of it. That was the woman's part, the virtuous woman part. Now listen to this. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start at 20th verse. Giving thanks, Ephesians 5th chapter, 20th verse, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. 21st verse, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I'm going to read that again. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This is what I refer to as the holy submission in marriage. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I've heard preachers and pastors and bishops always skip the 21st verse. And they go right to the 22nd verse, talking about wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. And they jump on that because they want women to be obedient to the husbands. But listen to what the 21st, I'm going to read the 21st verse again for you again, because we got to be fair with this thing when we preach the gospel. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. So that's the man submitting himself to his wife, the wife submitting himself to her husband. It's a double submission. It's not a single submission there. I've heard preachers say this, a man submit himself to Christ and a woman submit herself to her husband. And that's wrong. Both of you should be submitting yourself to Christ. But the 21st verse said, and this is the third time I'm reading this because I need it to sink in. All right, we got a lot of knuckleheaded people out here preaching the gospel and being one-sided. Okay, now listen. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives submitting to the husbands, husbands submitting to their wives. Because the man's body belongs to the woman, and the woman's body belongs to the man. How do you like that, man? You got to ask for permission before you do this and do that. Why? Because you got to be submissive to your wife.
And you have to keep, you have to also consider this. Whatever you do and it ends up wrong, it's going to affect the other person. So if it's in a financial thing and you done took $5,000 out the bank and done did something crazy with it, you know, or whether it was an investment, you thought it was going to come back and it did not, you know, guess who's going to suffer in that? You know, and that goes for both people. If the wife took their finances and invested, if the husband took and invested, guess what? You're going to hurt the family. You're going to hurt the household with that decision you made without even consulting them. You know, if it's, you know, taking a trip or whatever it is, you have to consult your mate, you know. And I don't understand a lot of times even, I know for me, I always trying to be aware of that because it does take time. If you're not used to always going to someone and being accountable when you're single, you know, that process, that transition, it does take some time. But I'm telling you now, your safety is going to be when you can go to your husband and ask him and talk to him about things before you make a decision. Also, vice versa, you know. And also, we know that even when I go and I say, well, babe, what do you think about this, this, and this? And he say, he'll give me one or two or three. One would be, I don't care, but, you know, did you pray and seek God? That's one of the things. He'll say, okay, well, I don't mind, but did you pray and consult God? You know, because now he's saying, listen, you know, I'm saying okay, but if the Lord is leading you or did you pray about it? Because even with that, if I make a decision and I didn't consult God, it's going to affect both of us, you know. So you have to be really, really careful. And I think we're too loose when it comes to marriages, you know. And then when people see a marriage that's on one accord, folks want to scrutinize that. Like it's strange, you know, when actually this is what should be displayed.
Now, I'm going to be fair, okay, because I read the 21st verse 100 times just now. I want to drive this point home, but we're going to read the rest of it. Okay, 22nd verse of the 5th chapter of Ephesians. Okay, but I'm going to read 21 one more time. Got to do it. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Get that in your spirit. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband. Nobody else's husband, your own husband, as unto the Lord. As like you say you love Christ, well, you got to love your husband like you love Christ. Why? Because you got to submit yourself like you're submitting yourself to Christ.
Right.
For the husband is the head of the wife. Okay, I ain't got to explain it to my wife, so she accepts that. It's a responsibility, though. It ain't for my arrogance or, you know, or my ego. It's a responsibility.
That's right.
Even as Christ is the head of the church and is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything, in everything. Now, 25th verse. This is our commandment for the men. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Selfish joker. You know, you see how Christ died for the church? We got to have the same attitude when it comes to our wife and our family. That what? Now, I explained it before. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Look, washing of water by the word. You should be preaching in your house. Somewhere in your house, you should be preaching the word of God to your family. In the house. And teaching and preaching it. Talking about the word of God. Studying together. washing your family, washing your whole life with the word of God. Now, this is the part I talked about early in the show, that he might, this is the 27th verse, that he might present it to himself. Present it to himself. Not to God. Present it to himself. All right? Get that. Get that down in your spirit, that you might present. You got to create your world. Man, it's your job to create your environment in your home, that you might present it to yourself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Everything don't go on in your house.
That's right.
You can't let everything go on in your house.
And just say, I'm accepting, just sit back. You're right.
You know, you can't just sit back and let your wife and your kids do everything. 28th verse, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. So when my wife's leg hurt, that should be my leg. He that loveth his wife, loveth himself. For no man ever yet hate his own flesh, but nourish and cherish it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause, y'all know this one, because they say this in weddings, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, mama's boy, and shall be joined unto his wife. And they two shall be one flesh. Do not choose your mother over your wife, my friend. Don't let your mother all in your business. And if your mother got a problem with your wife, you got a problem with your mother. You got a big problem with your moms. Tell moms to mind, help her, call your dad and say, Dad, get mom. Okay? Start to be a man, please. Your wife will appreciate it. And she will respect you for it. This is the great mystery. We talked about this, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband.
And I love something you said, and I wrote it down while you were talking, Coach Eric, is how we talked about the house. And the man being over the house, and actually is such a great responsibility. And I'm not saying the wife doesn't have a great responsibility, because we both, husband and wife, have a great responsibility. It's just that the responsibility is different. And a lot of times we don't know what that is. We don't know as a wife what we should be doing. And as a husband, we don't know what we should be doing. And these are some of the things and areas that God will play a tremendous part in your life, because God will not only teach you, instruct you, and show you through his word how to do things that you have never thought you were able to do at all. And so this is why we have to make God a center of our lives and in everything. And so when you were talking about the household, you know, I thought about this. Do you know other cultures, a lot of other cultures, you know, teach their family, their wives, and their children in their home what they believe? Whether it's crops and growing fruit, they teach them at a young age. They teach them early. They instill in them, you know, the inheritance that's laid up for them. And, you know, I mean, they really, the fathers in the house in different cultures, you know, line up everything and teach. And so when you were talking about teaching the word of God in the home, you know, this is something that we should be doing. This shouldn't just be when we come on a Sunday morning service. And that's all good and well. Thank God for it. Wednesday night Bible study, we love it. Thank God. Thursday, Friday, whenever your regular services are. But guess what? At home, there should be a Bible study going on. There should be prayer going on, teaching the children how to pray, praying with your spouse. So, again, I always thinking about people who want to be married, but they don't want to take on the responsibility of it, because it is a great responsibility, you know. But guess what? It's crisis in it, and God got your back, I'm telling you, and how to be successful in it is what I'm trying to say, you know. The success of the marriage is not because of two individuals. The success of the marriage is because Christ is in it, and Christ is directing you what to do, and you're obeying what he's saying. And that's why that's where the success comes from. The success comes from Christ. It comes from God, and it comes from his love showing you how to do things. You tell God you want to have an awesome marriage, you want a marriage that's going to glorify him, obey the things he's saying, even when you don't like it.
That's right.
Even when it doesn't feel good, because it ain't based, marriage is not based on a feeling.
It's not.
you know, because them feelings come and go. You don't be feeling good one day you hate each other, you think you do, but you're going through a moment because why? You're still, because that becoming one flesh don't happen overnight.
No, it's a process.
You know, it's a process, but it's a process that can be done. God will never tell us something in his word that we can't do.
That's right.
But we have to work at that.
That's right.
Now, all this word that we just gave from the word of God, and thank God for the word of God every day, okay, all of this can't take place from a distance. Remember I said you got to be present in your marriage. You can't be missing. We got to spend time together to accomplish this unity, success. Because you don't belong to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you got married, you should be cool with all of this. Who gets married and don't want to be with the person they got married to?
Exactly.
Or why would you behave in a man that drives away the person that you're married to?
Right.
Which brings me to this. Love is a decision. We did a whole teaching on love.
Mm-hmm.
Love is a decision. Now, if you decide to love God, and the love of God is in you, then all this is easy because you love God, which sets up the final segment. You know, you remember that movie, Field of Dreams, where the guy heard a voice and built a baseball field in the middle of a cornfield, and he kept hearing his voice say, if you build it, he will come. Well, if you build it, he will come. Build what? And I'm glad you asked me that. If you build that relationship with God, it's going to come around. Your marriage is going to come around. God is going to fix your husband. He's going to fix your wife if you guys build it with God. Because marriage without God does not work. Nothing works without God, particularly marriage. Why? Because marriage is a God thing. And if you don't interject God into the marriage, you can have big problems. Okay? Now, if you're finding difficulty in your marriage where there's no love and there's the unity of your marriage is missing, you know, there's a reason behind that, okay? Proverbs 13, chapter 15, verse says this, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. If you're finding difficulty in your salvation, the way of the transgressor is hard. I suggest that you make your mind up to stop transgressing and stop being obedient to what the word of God tells you about everything. Because you don't know everything. The blueprint comes from God. And if you don't go to the blueprint, to the directions that came with the package, okay, you're going to assemble whatever you're doing wrong.
Right.
Anything you got in the mails, anything you had to assemble that came from the manufacturer, came with a set of instructions. Okay, if you don't go by the instructions, you're not going to assemble it correctly. Same thing happens in your married life, in your personal life. All right, why? The Bible, the word of God, is the instruction for the human condition, for man. It's the instructions that comes with us. If we don't understand it, don't read it, don't study it, we're not going to know how to be.
That's right.
We're not going to know how to react, how to respond to life. And then life is going to beat up. Why? Because our life is in disarray. It's disassembled because we didn't assemble with the instructions that came from God. We did not apply the wisdom of God to our lives.
That's right.
It's as simple as that. Marriage and relationship is not like you see in the movies or on TV where you got music in the background and the sun is always setting. I don't care what time of the day it is, the sun is always setting. There's always some orchestra following you around. It ain't like that. They lie to us. It ain't like that. It's gritty and it's real. And you have to have the fruits of the Spirit to get through it. You're going to need some patience and some long suffering to deal with it. And you're going to need the power of the Holy Ghost to sustain. That's what's going to sustain you. You need direction. That's why you got to get into this word of God. So if you're finding difficulty, okay, I suggest that you build your relationship with God. Because if you build it, it's going to come.
Right.
There should not be trouble in what should be paradise when you get married.
Right.
Because the absence of God in your marriage, This what makes paradise turn into wilderness. Because there's the absence of God. Anytime there's not paradise, God is not in that.
I'm telling you, that was wonderful, Coach Eric. And I'm telling you, I'm praying on today that you guys are being blessed by what's being said. And I'm telling you, again, it's the word of God that has kept Coach Eric and I. In June, actually, we celebrated 9 years of marriage. And I'm going to tell you, we have experienced some things that most people probably 30 years have experienced. And we never understood why. But everything we experienced it together. And if it had not been for the grace of God, we could have ended up in divorce court. We could have ended up just giving up on each other because we had some moments where God was testing us and pruning us and cutting things away from us and all of that and anointing us and delivering us. God was doing all those things still even after we knew God had put us both together. But when God was doing it, we had to continue to look to God and not look at our situations and begin to continue to love on each other even the more. You know, and it was the love of God for each other, towards each other, you know, and not always a feeling and in my flesh. And like I hear a lot of people say, I'm in my feelings. Well, listen, you need to get out your feelings and get into the love of God and let God control your feelings. You know, people rant and rage and have these all this stuff going on. Listen, get into the love of God. And let the Lord, you know, deal with you when it comes to your marriage. You know, don't be ashamed to say, I'm sorry, I messed up. Don't be ashamed to say, I got that wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, I talked a little too harsh to you. Oh, I might have misjudged what you were saying. Come on, don't let pride be the thing that keep the wedge in the marriage because it doesn't have to be, you know.
You better argue.
You know, and if you're arguing. Arguing is good, but come with a solution. And respect one another,
right.
You know, because we ain't arguing and telling folks off like you out in the street or you in the world, you know, but tell you how you feel, and then you have to listen to one another. It's not about being right. It's about listening to one another. So now this is an area in our lives that we may have to come together and either not do it anymore, come together and make a thing work or take it out altogether.
Compromise.
It's compromise. And once you come to that decision, then y'all can figure it out from there.
Right.
But don't be selfish.
Right.
Don't be selfish. So listen, you guys, this is the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. I'm hoping we said something that blessed you today. We believe in strong marriages. We believe in strong families, the children being strong. I'm telling you so you can be a blessing to the kingdom of God because guess what? Someone is watching your character. Someone is watching you. So listen, don't forget PJC Media, we got some awesome, awesome shows on here, and I want you to tune in to Dovetails with Deborah. That's Sundays at 2:30 p.m. She's starting a segment from the 18th of July all the way to November. Listen, it's about divorces and separations. Please tune in to Dovetails on Sundays at 2:30 p.m. Then you got the Parker J. Cole Show. That's Tuesdays at 7 p.m. Let's Talk About It with Jenny White, and that's at 8 p.m. The Parker Cole Show, and that is Saturdays at 2 p.m. Don't forget the Marriage Playbook with Coaches Eric and Fran. That's every Monday night at 7 p.m. You can always go in and re-listen to any show or broadcast, www.blogtalkradio.com/PJC Media. Always dial 646-668-8485. Don't forget, go like us on Facebook. Go hit us up on Instagram, Twitter. We're on social media, you guys. Listen, we love you with the love of God. We pray for the continual success. Listen, if you are in the city of Philadelphia, brotherly love, we want you to come join us at the Living Word Evangelistic Missionary Church. That is 2234 North Front Street, Philadelphia, PA, 19133. Trust me, awesome teaching. Awesome, awesome, awesome. And guess what? Next week's show, going to tear it all apart. So I'm going to let Coach Eric get on that.
Next week, Monday, 7 p.m. next week, our topic is ladies and whores. Now, it's a little touchy, so I'm going to let Coach Fran do most of the talking. But we're going to discuss ladies and whores.
We're doing a two-part series.
All right, it's going to be a two-part series. We're going to start with the females, then we're going to deal with the males. Ladies and whores is next week's show. Check it out on Facebook because we got it all set up for you.
okay? A little description of what's going to go on. But I'm telling you, this is going to bless you next week, man, because we want to impact the world with the word of God. This is real Christian radio, man, and we're getting ready to get out of here, man. Thank you for listening to the Marriage Playbook. Thank you for PJC Media. Hey, look, we'll be back next week with Ladies and Whores, man. I'm telling you, it's sure to be a stone gas, honey. I'm not Don Kears. I'm Coach Eric, and we're going to check out.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have left in this game.
Yeah, but the season is not over. We got more games to play.
Well, we thank you for spending your Monday evening here with us at the Marriage Playbook.
We hope we've encouraged you with some strategies that will give your marriage the win.
All right, so let's have a good week of practice, and we'll see you at game time next week on the Marriage Playbook.